I'm Ivy.
I'm Rachel, and we are Swords and Sapphics, a podcast all about representation, queer media, women with a capital W, and a little bit of nonsense.
So start sharpening your swords, sip your tea, and join us as we obsess over the wonderful beings that are women.
Talk about today?
Well, today we are talking about the Achillean Book Bingo hosted by Melina Garance, and we're not only talking about it, we are talking to Melina about what this is, what readers can expect from it, and the intention behind it. And also we do go off on a bit of a tangent about other things, of course. But we're very excited about it. There are lots of resources out there now for sapphic stuff. Like, there's a sapphic book bingo every year. Jay does a lot of things for their blog. But then I think when Melina mentioned it, I was like, whoa, there's not that many things for Achillean, despite it being like the kind of primary queer fiction, or at least it was when more started emerging. So Melina has put together this Achillean book bingo for people to dive into gay literature. And it also is a really great opportunity for gay authors to kind of find a wider readership. A lot of the authors Melina is collaborating with are indie. So it's a real chance to kind of see beyond the few bits of literature that everybody can access and get down to some more. If you want to download the bingo card, have some bingo fun, how it works is that you go to Melina's website, which we will link in the description and whatnot. You can download the card from there, and what you do is you find a trope and a book that matches that trope, and you tick it off when you've read it. And if you get a line, you can submit the card and enter in a giveaway, with the chance to win many, many prizes by Achillean authors, I think, is the best way that I can articulate that today.
What are you enjoying this week? Lately?
Oh, what am I enjoying this week is a good question. I've been on a big, big media consumption high at the minute. I'm still reading I'm still reading A Sweet Sting of Salt. A Sweet Sting.
She tried so hard. That was just pure concentration on her face.
A Sweet Sting of Salt, yep, by Rose Sutherland, which we've talked about plenty, but it just keeps getting better, is all I'll say about that. I'm midway through now, 50%. I lied to Rose and said I was more, although this episode will be going out before then, so it doesn't count.
Right, you were telling future truth.
I was. So yeah, that's what I've been reading. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Station 19.
Hell yeah.
And it's great. I got a sapphic little side storyline with the victims of a pothole incident. Mm-hmm. It's funny because with Grays, I'm a hypochondriac, and I then believe everything I feel in my body is out to get me because I watch too much Grays Anatomy. And now, not only in my body, outside of it also, fires can happen, lads.
It's interesting because I'm fine with Grays most of the time. Like, they mentioned thyrocancer. That's when I was like, oh, no, because I have issues with my thyroid. But otherwise, like, it doesn't get into my brain. With Station, however, it really fucking did. Like, it got my paranoia when I leave my apartment got so much worse. Yeah. So, like, every time I leave, I just imagine all the little fires starting while only my dog is here. It's not good.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. But well, the good news is firefighters are very hot, and I would let them rescue me from a burning building.
Yeah, I just wish it wasn't mine.
Yeah,
because it has my stuff in it.
That's too much to ask for, I think.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. No, please don't burn your house down.
No, I'm not gonna. Do you see how much books I have here?
Oh, no. It's highly flammable.
That's financial investment.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and
mom.
also, my flammable things sit in my window or
No,
fire escape.
because fucking hell, honestly, you say that you get you like it's getting into your brain. It does not. Girlie has, what is it? It's hairspray and a dry shampoo, which is very fucking flammable. She has it on her window where a fucking sun is shining. Yes, it's Britain. It's barely shining, but fucking still. It's next to a lamp and a candle and books and drapes and whatnot. So now I'm not only paranoid for my own house, I'm also paranoid for yours. Not to mention that she's charging her phone during the night and she... Do you have it under your pillow?
No, I don't. You
Okay.
say this to me every time. You tried
Yeah,
to make me
I
a phone on
questioned
the
it.
pillow sleeper, and I am not.
Yeah, okay. Well, still.
I have it on the bedside table beside me.
Yeah.
Anywho, don't try to change me.
I wouldn't dare. The chaos is part of you.
I think so. I've also been back on my Yellowstone obsession, and I love Yellowstone. I have nothing intelligent to say about any of these things. I just love them. Oh, I have been watching Love on the Spectrum. I needed just some fit. I love reality TV because it just makes my brain turn off a bit more. And so I decided to watch Love on the Spectrum, and I kind of thought it would be like The Undateables in that it's just there to make fun of autistic people. But for me, like, it really showcases how loving and kind autistic people are. Like, all the people there are on different aspects of the spectrum with different other disabilities and stuff and different ways that their autism affects them. And they're just, but like, every single one of them is just, has like the biggest heart ever. And it makes me surprised that for so long, autistic people were viewed as like these cold, rude, uncaring people, because like you just have to watch that show and you just see how much love there is. And I just love it. I love it so much.
Beautiful.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, from our last episode and this one, I finished the entirety of Superman and Lois. I fucking love it. I had to rewatch half of it because I don't know, I think my HBO was acting weird, so I wasn't continuing. But I was rewatching half of it. I was finishing watching the other half for the first time. Honestly, it's so good, even if you're not into like the superhero stuff. Like, first of all, it can be watched in on its own without like, because it's a CW show. There were some crossovers with like Arrow, The Flash, and stuff. It's not in this show, so you can watch it without that. And it has so much heart. And when it comes to like parenthood, the siblings relationship, because like Superman and Lois, they have twins. One of them has powers, the other one doesn't. So there's of course like that, like danger of being jealous, and sometimes they are, because one has these powers, one doesn't. There is just like the partnership and friendships, and there is like, it's just so good. It's so good. I can't stress it enough. It just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful show. I feel everybody should watch it. There you go. And then I started watching Supergirl because I wanted to watch her first, but I didn't have her anywhere, so I started downloading it and watched Superman before that. And now on Supergirl. And I love her. I love Kara. She's so adorable.
Yeah. I loved watching it. At the time we were talking about it the other night, like at the time it was hugely groundbreaking because it was one of the only female superhero shows or movie out there. And also we had a queer side character, a sapphic side character.
Yeah.
Who was so sapphic that I was certain what's she called in real life? Chyla Lee. I was certain Chyla Lee had already come out because she was so fucking sapphic in that show and she had the bisexual haircut. But apparently she only came out a few weeks ago. She didn't
Oh,
need
you
to.
know, wait, did she? I think, didn't she came out as bi during when it was airing.
What I
Or am
thought. I thought that. I genuinely thought she'd already come out.
Me too. I guess I'm inserting memories into my own brain.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it was because it started in 2015. Wonder Woman came out 2 years after that. And so it was genuinely the first like female superhero at anything,
Yeah.
movie and a show, because we had Black Widow, and Wanda was already in MCU, but we all
Yeah,
know how MCU is looking, and only now we're getting like stuff with female characters, and apparently now it's too risky, so they're not gonna be making them. But that's a whole different discussion for sometime else, because I have.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, yeah. So yeah, it was a big thing, yeah.
It was, and not only that, but like the runner of where she worked, was it, what was it called? The
Oh
Daily.
yeah,
I don't know.
Catgirl.
Yeah, she
Catgirl, yeah.
was like, it was a woman boss.
Yeah.
Like, it was very, very much like big on
Yeah,
breaking boundaries.
I really enjoy in the first episode, because Kara has the issue with Kat calling her Supergirl, not Superwoman. And Kat stood up and she was like, "I'm a girl, and I'm a boss of this like a big media enterprise and stuff like that." And it was really, really nice. It was just really nice, especially because like Kat, she wears like a lot of dress. She's still very feminine, but she's extremely like. She's the boss. Yeah. It's just really there's many things, very nice things to see. Yeah. Other than that, what am I doing? I don't think I watched anything else. Oh yeah, no. Actually, I do have Grace and Station back also. Abbott's Elementary is coming out. Season 3, I think, or 4. 3. I don't know. It's great. Everybody should watch the sitcom. It's so good. I'm not reading anything right now, but I am playing Fortnite Lego.
Yeah, and that unfortunately I am also apparently playing Fortnite
You played for 1 hour.
Lego. Yeah, I want the skins quicker for the battle pass, and to do that playing Lego, and I'm not big on Lego. It's once again another fucking game that made me fish. I'm sick of fishing. Don't want to fish anymore on games.
I
Don't want to
have
do
to
it.
say, this is the most comfortable fishing there is.
Yeah, it's
Like the
pretty easy
mechanics of
to.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, it's kind of just like fishing on the normal Fortnite game, which actually I enjoy because but never get a chance to do because people are
Full of
killing me.
paradox. Full of
Yeah.
paradox, this girl. I guess
I
it's the type
contain
of thing
multitudes.
like when you play this really huge open world games and you're just riding on a horse. I guess it's the same thing. You just have to break what the game is for.
Oh my God, I lost. I don't know where my horse is on Skyrim. And there's this glitch where the person you're tra person I'm traveling with, I think it was, oh, I can't remember his name, but he's from the Companions who are wolves.
Oh.
First of all, I accidentally asked him to marry me even though I have a wife at home. And secondly, there's a glitch where if he dies, he doesn't respawn. So now it says I'm traveling with him, but he's not there, and I have to go to back to this place to get it to reset. But I'm too lazy to do that. But I need to become I need to become a vampire again because I need Serana. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but Serana is a sapphic coded vampire, and she flirted so hard, but she's not romanceable.
Did you tell me that there are vampires in Skyrim?
There are vampires, there are werewolves, there are orcs, there are cat people, there
I
are
didn't
lizard
know
people.
that.
Yeah, man. There's a vampire castle, and you walk in and they're all drinking blood. There are blood fountains.
That changes a lot of things.
It's really fucking good. And you get to decide whether you want to be a wolf or a vampire, and you can be both. I was a vampire, now I'm a wolf, but I need to go back.
It's kind of D&D coded. Oh my
Oh,
God.
yeah.
I
It's
didn't
really
know
good.
that.
It's so good. That's what I'm saying, man.
Well, I
There are
guess
dwarves. There are temples. I just went and fought some demon horse. They're called Daedra, but they're like, it was a horse made of fire. And I finally got a quest done. I got the anniversary edition recently and things are happening again for me. I went through a period where it lulled, but an anniversary edition is definitely worth the money because now I have many more quests.
Interesting.
Yeah. There are mages. There are hag ravens. There are alchemists. There are necromancers. There's a college where you go to study magic and try, and there are bandits.
Okay, you sold me.
Yay!
Like,
so
if you said that to, I don't feel like I knew that. How did I?
I just kind of assumed you did because it's just a big fantasy world full of everything.
Well, okay. All right, there's that.
Yay! Serana, honestly, Serana's the best character there. Like, my entire life changed when I met her.
All right, well,
Yeah.
there's that.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a thieves guild. You can be part of that. You get to steal things. There are so many good things.
Oh my God.
You can build your own house and furniture.
Just for y'all to understand, until now, every time Rach played the game, all I knew is that she was riding on her horse around. That's all the information I got. I know you sent me some pictures of some hot women, but that was genuinely it. No one mentioned all of that.
I
My
apologize.
entire world, like, changed in this minute.
Well, there we go.
There we
See?
go.
Now you have to go get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will wait on a sale. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm happy now.
Good, I'm glad. I'm glad. Oh, should we get to the interview?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, just a little information beforehand. I'm not in my greatest shape. I feel like even with all my editing, you all be able to tell. I apologize to Merlina once again. My brain is really not cooperating. So yeah, I do what you will with that information, and I guess.
Yeah, and I was
Bingo.
on the verge of a meltdown when I started the recording, but now I'm on the opposite spectrum and feel very ADHD today. I know that ADHD is not a feeling, but I
It
think
is.
I have ADHD, so
Yeah.
yeah.
But it is.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, enjoy the interview. So, hi. Thank you for joining us. First of all, could
Hi.
you tell us a little bit about yourself? We've talked about you often at this point, so people finally see your face.
I'm Melina. I write queer romance books, and I am now also the host of the Achillean Book Bingo, which is why I'm here today.
Yeah, and we're really excited about that. So tell us a little bit more about the Achillean Book Bingo. How did you come up with the idea?
So I write different kinds of romances, sapphic and Achillean, which is a term that not many people know because it's more recent, I think.
Yeah.
And it's the male equivalent, so it's encompasses male characters and non-binary characters that are attracted to men. I hope that's a good way of phrasing it. And since I also write books like that, I noticed a difference in the amount of resources for both readers and authors to promote their books and for readers to have access to like big sales events. And I looked for a bit to see if there was any kind of equivalent to I Heart Sapphic, for example, or your podcast, and I didn't find anything. And so after like 6 months of grumbling, I decided, well, okay, let's make it myself.
That's amazing. Because we were saying as well, like, even though Achillean books were like the primary introduction to more queer fiction, like, being published, there's still little like resources for indie authors especially to kind of dive into the way there is with Sapphic.
I feel like for Achillean books, it's more like traditional market books that are seen a bit everywhere. Whereas for Sapphic books, like you said, Rachel, there's we see a lot more indie authors making it.
What do you hope both authors and readers may gain from this project?
So my starting point to make this happen was as an author, because I wanted to be able to give the same visibility to my Achillean books as the Sapphic ones. So I hope that other authors can get that as well, because my goal is going to be making a lot of posts and social media things about all the books that are involved in the event. And I'm also going to be posting about the books I'm reading as part of the challenge. And for readers, well, first of all, if you already read Achillean books, you just have to write down the names of the books at the end of the year and you can win more books. So it's a win-win. And if you don't, or if you want to read more diversely, then we've made it very easy for you to do it. So there's going to be a big giveaway at the end of the year for people who complete the challenge. And because it's not starting in January, like most other challenges do, I'm making it so that to be entered in the giveaway, you only have to complete one line, and one line is one entry. If we carry on next year, it will be the whole grid. But since it starts in April, the whole grid felt a bit much for the first year. And there will be a group sale in June as well. So most of the authors and some others that aren't involved in the giveaway as well will be joining all together in the first week of June. And all our books will be discounted. And yeah.
Amazing.
Wonderful.
So it's interesting because most Sapphic authors you come across tend to stick to Sapphic. But why is Achillean representation equally as important to you as Sapphic?
Well, I started writing Achillean first. When I started writing, and I think it was also my point of entry into the queer world, because I think the first, like, when I realized that queer was a thing, it was probably through mangas, which were really popular, especially yaoi and yuri, but mostly yaoi, which is Achillean. And it was fairly easy to access if you had an internet connection. So for me, who was a teenager 15 years ago in the French countryside, there wasn't access to anything else. And so I feel like, besides, I'm pansexual, so I'm attracted both to men and women and other genders as well. So I want to write all of it.
Wonderful. Could you talk us through some of the tropes on your bingo card, and perhaps what are your personal favorites?
So I won't mention them all because there's 25, but some of the ones I'm excited about are the ones that aren't as easily accessible. So, for example, BIPOC authors. Trans authors or characters, disability representation and neurodiversity representation. All the minorities within the LGBTQ community, because if you look at traditionally published books, there's a lot of white authors and white characters. And when I was starting to make recommendation lists for the challenge, I really had to look for books by BIPOC authors, for example, which is not a good sign.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find a lot of pre-made lists either. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's a lot for Sapphic books. There's a lot of Sapphic book sagrammers who make those lists really accessible, and I couldn't find any equivalents once again. Maybe they are, and I haven't found them. Mm-hmm. If they are and you know them, tell me.
I haven't seen any either. Yeah. I think I didn't really realize that until you mentioned getting started on this project, because we're also focused on like uplifting Sapphic after so long of not having that representation, that it's kind of been that Achillean has fallen to the background a little bit.
Yeah. Have you dived into anything yet for the Bundle?
Yes, I kind of cheated and started reading, but because I got an ARC for a book by Hallie Starling, which is also well known by you guys. It's her latest coup de cœur. I'm saying it with the French accent because I can. And it comes out in late May, so this challenge will have started if you want to give it a go. And I really loved it. It was really good historical fantasy with polyamory representation. And the writing style was very good, so I just didn't wait until the challenge started. I'll still take it because, you know, I'm allowed to cheat.
I think you deserve to.
Otherwise, I know I'll be rereading If We Were Villains, that I read in January, and I loved it so much that I got a hardback copy straight away. And I have a few more. I have three more by authors who are offering their books in the giveaway. One is The Chapter. Another one is Arrival Most Vile, which is a really cool film.
I'm really excited to read that one as
well. Yeah, and A Hand of Blood and Iron. So if you want to check out the list of the giveaway prizes, they're on my website. And you'll see that there's a lot of cool-looking books there.
Wonderful.
Amazing. Have you discovered any new books through this project already, and are there any that you're particularly looking forward to diving into?
Well, basically all the authors involved, I haven't read any of their books, except Hallie Starling. I had read a sapphic one by her, but all of the other ones are new to me, which is exciting because it means that there are a lot of indie or small publishers who have those books and they just don't have the resources to get them out there. So I'm excited about all of them, and I'll also be reading some more traditionally published as well, because I kind of fell into a big sapphic rabbit hole last year. And I've been reading almost exclusively sapphic, and there are a lot of good Achillean books that I haven't read out there.
You yourself, you've mentioned that you have many Achillean books, including Just You, which I believe Rachel can stop talking about.
I loved it. I loved it so much.
Tell us about that a little bit, and how you said that you started with Achillean specifically. What is there some like specific reason behind that? How did that came to be?
I've been asked that question for a long time. Mostly by like friends or family who were like, why are you writing stuff about gay men? Specifically, I'm like, I don't know. I think there was like a sort of psychological issue with my relationship to my own gender, and the fact that I didn't accept that I was attracted to women as well. So that took a long time for me to process that. And I actually wrote an article about it that's on your blog.
Yep, you did, yeah.
So basically, I just couldn't write from a woman's point of view for like 15 years. Whenever I would start, I would become really angry and go dive straight into sexist cliches, and I stopped. So I think that played a part into it. But also the fact that I, like you said, there wasn't a lot of sapphic representation for a long time, and especially on TV. And another thing that I had access to with a computer and the internet was TV shows.
Yeah.
And I would spend a lot of my free time, you know, looking for queer stuff on the internet and finding, you know, the odd gay couple that had a storyline of a few minutes in that show, looking at that. And I think that influenced me. And I also, after that, started reading more like classic literature by gay authors about gay men, like Oscar Wilde or E.M. Forster. And so that's also been one of my influences, I think.
Do you remember like the first queer couple that you've seen on TV or read about in the book? Like that was that wow moment for you.
It definitely wasn't in the book. On TV, I think it must have been like something really obscure. I've watched most of the gay films that were released in the 2000s, and some of them, like, I don't even remember the title because it was like, really small films in terms of budget and the communication about them. Honestly, it might have been fan fiction because
I think it was the same for me.
I also was reading a lot of fan fiction, either about mangas or anime, or at the time where fanfiction.net, I think, welcome. Well, before AO3, when that was really popular, there was also an equivalent that was Fiction Press. That was for original fiction, but it had ex exactly the same format, and it made it easy to look for the same kind of serialized fiction. But that wasn't fan fiction, and I used to read a lot of that as well.
Interesting. Thank you. So which categories can readers tick off with your books for the bingo card?
So for most of them, you can take the neurodiverse representation because I've been told that I cannot write a neurotypical character.
I don't think neurodivergent people can.
No.
We try. We're not even aware of it, but
It's I definitely for Dandelion, I wrote the main character as autistic on purpose this time. And put a lot of my own symptoms and how my autism expresses itself in his character. But every time someone neurodivergent reads my book, they tell me, "Oh, this one's autistic." Really? Oh, okay, interesting. For Just Two and Dandelion, they both have bisexual characters. Just Two also has a disabled character. You can also take the main character in touch with their emotions one, which is not one that I thought of myself. It's someone who recommended that, and I hadn't realized that, yeah, a lot of male characters are just very either act tough or repressed. And it's also a thing that I like about writing Achillean is that take the repressed characters and, dig into their mind to make them stop being like that. Well, obviously, all my books are independent author. Then can also be a new author to you if you haven't read any yet. Just Two is not set in the US, which is also a box that we have on the bingo card. And I have a novelette that's coming out in June as well that will be free for my newsletter subscribers. So you can also get the novella and non-US because it's set in Paris.
It is. And it's a really great book. I had the pleasure of beta reading it, and I loved it. I love gays at the end of the world, gays in like dystopian settings, and it gave me this.
Because who cares if they're gay when the world is falling apart? We
Exactly.
have bigger problems.
Yeah, go kiss some men or women, whatever you're into. Are there any Achillean books that have inspired you or transformed your work? Sorry, that was the end of the question. I'm not doing well. I apologize.
Well, I think mostly I started with the more classic and historical fiction that I mentioned earlier. So, for example, Maurice by E.M. Forster, which also has a film adaptation. Because I was so hungry for queer content, I would look for it anywhere. And so those kind of books that are set maybe in the 19th or 20th early 20th century. I think they influence me in the way that the characters are described falling in love, which is never really open because of the historical context. And all this pining and expressing yourself through very convoluted ways, and the repression as well, which is not something that the characters choose. It's, again, because of the historical context. And I think it's something that I find really interesting to explore in the books, because even if times have changed, they've not necessarily changed that much, especially depending where you are in the world. And so I find it interesting to still have a modern setting with queer people who are, you know, that you're always going to be a bit tentative when you're trying to figure out, first of all, if the other person is also queer, and you never really know completely how the people around you are going to react, especially if they don't know you're queer.
Yeah.
And so that's something I really like to explore when I'm writing, whether it's Akkadian or Sapphic.
Yeah. So gay pining is timeless.
Obviously, when are gay people going to be straightforward about being in love?
Yeah, that would be too easy. Yeah.
There's nothing straight about queer people.
Exactly.
I have a little like question outside of what we're really talking about. I'm curious, how is it like with when it comes to like French books and movies and stuff like that involving queer people? Because like in every American show, when we're talking, when there's always like the joke, you know, French, they're sexually free and blah blah blah. How is it like in real life, like when it comes to this type of representation?
I haven't watched a lot of French TV in a few years now, but I remember one show that I really liked, and I got into it because it had a gay character. It was a police show, but it was a comedy, and I thought it was done in a sensitive way, in that the character wasn't out at first. But he came out, but his love interest wasn't out and didn't want to come out. And it wasn't the main focus of the story, but it was done in the background, and it was never a joke. Though I think that like you can divide French TV and cinema in between two big groups. There's like really mainstream, which is like anywhere, and it will be more cliche jokes. And in that case, gay people will be made fun of. And I don't think they're being mean on purpose, or they don't think that they are mean, but it's always very insensitive. And then you have more, there's what we call the cinéma d'art et d'essai, so like art and essay. It's not like essay in English, it's more like trial. Cinema. It's a weird term, but it's like genre cinema. And you'll have films like, for example, if you know Xavier Dolan, who does both films in Quebec French and English, and he's queer himself, and he's done a lot of films about being queer. He's not French. I'm comparing the kind of style that he has to a lot of what French cinema does, which is also a big influence in my writing, that a lot of that kind of French films is always walking the line between comedy and tragedy. And we call it dramatic comedy.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to write and read as well. It's like it's neither all funny, and it's not, you can expect a happy ending, but there will be ups and downs, and it feels realistic to me. Sorry that I went on a big tangent there.
No, it's interesting. Ivy's just kind of like made me think. I actually don't know that much about your French culture compared to like ours, and I was thinking, is there like, because we loved The Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which is French. And then I was wondering, I wonder if there's like any Achillean versions of those kind of classical sapphic historical films that are kind of emerging recently.
Hmm. I didn't do my research on that.
No, no, we're going off piece now.
Yeah, a lot.
No, but I'm sure there are. But again, I'm there probably are films that there's loads of films which have a queer character, but it's not always the focus of the story, or it will have, be like a family's story, and you have one of the children who's queer, and that's part of the story, but it's not about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the film with it coming out and everything. So there's a lot more representation now, but it's still not great.
No, we need more, definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I took us a little further away because, again, like, it's always that sort of, like, American idea that French people are very, like, free when it comes to their own sexuality. And, of course, like, as a European, I'm aware that anything the Americans say is just not true. And also to oppose to, like, me in Czech, because while we read more queer books now, they are not on TV at all. Like, that's a big no-no for some reason. We have only one show, like, 1 year old, I think.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's just
No, I think it's more globally, well, generally accepted on TV here, but you know, you always see that little difference in the treatment where, like, for example, a straight couple, you'll see them kissing and then having sex, or start having sex, and the queer couple kissing and then cut. I've always noticed that it's I don't think most people notice it, but for us it's really obvious. It doesn't show the same level of intimacy, and it's like, okay, we can show them kissing now, but that's it.
Yeah,
get it.
I was thinking, actually, the UK hasn't been that bad. I remember when I was a teenager, I had, like, Jack Harkness from Doctor Who, played by John Barrowman, and then he went to Torchwood, and I've just realized now that was actually quite progressive for the time that we were in.
Torchwood is, well, Doctor Who as well, but Torchwood is so gay.
It
I
is
love
so
it.
Gay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess that's a lot to do with the writer, who is also he also worked on oh, what was it called?
Clarice Falk.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was my big gay TV show.
So I guess we were very lucky to have that.
Well, I think in general, I noticed that diversity in British TV is a lot better than French TV, and even outside of queer people. But for example, panel shows, you'll see black people, Indian people. In France, if there's some a person of color, it's a big exception. It's so bad that when I'm watching English TV, I'm like, wow, there's all the colors there. How bad is it that this feels weird to see?
It's interesting. Because obviously, racism is still, like, very prevalent here, but we are, like, a very much multicultural society at this point. Like, it was never unusual for me to, like, be around different ethnicities and things. So it is interesting, definitely.
Yeah, I think that the way that Britain and France structured immigration is not the same. Here we still have kind of ghettos, like all the people who come from North Africa live in one part of the city.
Gosh.
So we're, you know, you run into each other on the bus, maybe, and in certain parts of town, but not in your day-to-day life. Like, our neighborhood is very much white.
Yeah,
I think there's my husband and another black family who moved in recently. That they're the only non-white people in the whole neighborhood.
It's interesting because, like, honestly, I would not think of black people living in France, because, like, that's not a case here, right? We have Roma people mostly, and Asian people, but not black, because, again, like, I guess that's my just very limited idea of, like, Central Europe, and I know you're not Central, but that sort of thing. And I'm aware that I don't feel like they would live well here, because just the way white people are in general. So that's really interesting. Yeah.
But back to the subject.
Yeah,
we could talk about this for hours.
Yeah. We could. So do you have any recommendations for like a new reader of Achillean? Like, where would you start?
Well, the more modern classics, there's Heartstopper.
Yes.
In terms of, would you call that a graphic novel?
Yeah, it's a graphic novel, but the TV show's also there.
Obviously, you know. Song of Achilles is also one that's easily accessible, because I'm also thinking in terms of if you don't have the means or the funds to buy the books. Those are ones that are you could probably find in the library if you live in an English-speaking country.
Yeah.
And even, like, I think Song of Achilles must be in, at our local library translated. So I could start with those. And again, If We Were Villains is so good, brilliant, but it's maybe a little bit less accessible in terms of the contents, because you need to know a little bit of Shakespeare to enjoy it properly. So if you're not big into literature, maybe give it a pass. And I'll be making more rec lists in the coming weeks as well.
Amazing.
For each prompt.
Yeah.
And the Storygraph challenge is open. You can join it as well. And with me and the other authors have added a lot of books to each prompt as well.
Great. Amazing. I'd add Red, White, and Royal Blue there as well. I think that probably is one of the most widespread Achillean book at the minute. And it actually has, you know, like explicit scenes as well. So it was kind of refreshing in that regard as well.
And I'm also, I think, Dante and Aristotle,
book.
I know that it has so very many translations, and I know it's here also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just there's a bit of controversy about the author who was who basically bullied some readers.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a lot of well-known people, when you look into it, are dicks.
yeah, it's hard to find an unproblematic author at the minute. Oh, right. Your turn.
Okay. So before we go, is there something that you're currently enjoying and want to gush about a little bit? Outside, it doesn't have to be for the bingo. Like just something, TV show, book, podcast, whatever that you're.
We've just started watching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have seen it, and it's completely bonkers.
I started it, but because once they got out of the bunker, I was like, okay, maybe for some time. Like, they were stuck somewhere for their entire life, right?
Yeah. It starts with them getting out of the bunker, but it's just a cast of characters that, like, everyone is insane in their very special way. And I don't know how to describe the humor, but it's just crazy. Even just the intro is complete madness, and we've been singing it all the time with my husband, because it's just so fun to sing. So we've been watching that. We play video games a bit, but just like once a week, and we're still playing Dishonored, the Death of the Outsider one, and it's also good research for my steampunk book.
I'm excited for that.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet.
And I'm also listening to a tabletop RPG podcast that's also steampunk, and it's called Ogventure, Blades in the Dark. Blades in the Dark is the name of the system they're using. It's like there's Dungeons and Dragons, Blades in the Dark is another. And it's really cool and funny as well. And it's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Oxventure, so like OX Venture, like the venture.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to chat to you properly. I've been desperate to have you on for ages.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah, so that was our interview with Marlena.
It was. And we're very excited. Let's be honest, like, as two neurodivergent brain, we're probably not going to be taking part in it on purpose.
Yeah.
But we do enjoy the occasional Achillean books ourselves, so we figured we can give a few recommendations of things. I have a few up my sleeve. How about you?
I think we've talked about it before. The thing is, with all the Achillean books that I've read in my like teenage years, I'm not working. If it's in the book I'm reading, that's great, but I'm not like actively going for it. I'm actively searching for sapphic books.
Yeah.
So really lately, all like the Achillean books that I've been reading are the mainstream ones. So of course, Song of Achilles, Heartstopper, what else? Boyfriend Material by Alexis Hill.
There's also Six of Crows.
Oh yeah.
There's Wylan and Jasper from Six of Crows.
Yeah. So I don't think I'll give much recommendations. But you go on. I'm sure you read a lot of them.
My most recent one is the Enlil Elnaris series by Rebecca Crundon, mm-hmm. which I've talked about before. They're a series of short stories between two Achillean witches, featuring. It's very cozy, like, and you know, it's so great to have a book that you can just start and finish like in a bath. I love reading it in the bath. So the main characters are a gay couple of witches, just a couple of witches. And then I don't know why I sang about it, but then there's also like, as the series develops, there are more ships to enjoy, which I'm really enjoying, and it's just very cozy. There's a vampire with a castle, there is a villain who has amnesia, like just things that you want from your fantasy are given to you in really great snapshots. And the most recent book in that just came out. It's So You Want to Be a Witch. And of course, I would have to recommend Just You by Melina, which is what we talked about earlier. I've given my little review of that before. My favorite part about Melina's writing is how like authentic and introspective it feels. I think in the same way that I write characters, like the characters go through a lot internally. And there's also scoliosis representation from John and a little bit of trans joy and breaking gender boundaries with Stu. Kind of when he trusts John enough, he shows him that he enjoys wearing dresses, and it's just, and John is of course like very, very accepting of that and loves him even more for it. So there's some, yeah. And I think that was actually the first book I read where that was the case, because it also didn't affect Stu's like masculinity per se. There was no conversation about whether that made him like a man or a woman or non-binary. It was just that this is Stu. It's just Stu!
Oh, there you go.
There you go. I solved the riddle. I connected the two dots.
That somehow reminded me the moment in Feel Good when May is coming out to their partner as I guess it was non-binary, or like they're pronounced were they them, and what did she say? She said something like, whoever you are, that's how I'll call you, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just very simple and very easy and just very, very feel good.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you I think aside from that, let me think. I mean, I think my first, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it anymore, but definitely one of the first gay ships that I was really invested in was Alec Magnus from Cassandra Clare. Like, obviously now those books come with a little strangeness with the whole, are they siblings? Are they not romance? But like as a teenager, I just really enjoyed them. I didn't really think about how fucking weird it was.
Yeah.
And out of that, I got Alec and Magnus. So
Yeah. That was...
Oh, and there's also a lot of books by Imogen Markwell Tweed, who we've talked to before.
Yeah.
My favorite so far is Peaches and Honey, which is just a really cozy Killian romance with lots of bacon involved and coziness. Like, there's, yeah, it's just really sweet. And I'm sure there are some tropes there that you can tick off from your bingo card.
Also, Chloe Liesa has a her fifth book in the Bergman Brothers series is gay one, like two men. Everything for You. It's on my TBR, standing there. So that one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I think Felix Ever After is classed as a Killian. There's a trans, the main character's trans, and I think they end up in a Killian relationship. It's been a while since I read it, so I can't remember now, but I think so.
Also in Percy Jackson, there is Nico who's gay. And I feel like the newest book is from like his and his boyfriend's POV.
Oh.
I didn't read it yet. I'm so behind on Percy Jackson. It's horrible. Anyway, but that has a lot of, like, overall, it has a lot of queerness. That too, yeah.
And then another one I have on my to be read is All That's Left in the World by Eric J. Brown. I do believe that's also a Killian. I got it with Jen St. Jude's book. And yeah. I've not read it yet, but I think it's a Killian. And there's also that other one. They both die at the end.
Oh yeah.
But I think I have a hunch that they might both die at the end. So
might be, but I think the writer is a gay man, and he has a lot of books, like a lot of young adult books with a Killian.
Yeah.
And also Olivia Blake, Masters of Death. I read it recently. It's a very complicated fantasy, but it has like a Killian sub romance plot. Yeah.
That's crazy because we both have never proclaimed that we read a lot of Achillean books, but we can name quite a lot.
Yeah.
So that just shows there's lots out there. If you're looking for them, they're there.
Yeah.
And you can find even more.
Yeah.
There's plenty and plenty more that you can find as well.
You have also some.
Save I wrote...
the date, is it? Was that... It was
no,
the
it was May the Best Man Win.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that one.
It's in a wedding anthology. It happened at the wedding. It's an anthology that is on Scribd/Everend still.
Yeah,
I wanna publish that on my own or just use it as a net newsletter magnet. But the old contracts don't really
tell me.
So I don't know about that. And I did have there was some in the flower shop in Prinsham Grat as well.
Oh yeah, I don't think I remember much of it. I know it was about flower shop.
That was my first. No, yeah, no, that was my first.
Yeah,
that was my first.
No, it was after you also had before
the divide
stories. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was my second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I wouldn't necessarily recommend them anymore. I don't tend to write Achillean anymore just because I don't think it's my place. Not to say I might not in the future because there's a werewolf. Well, he doesn't know he's a werewolf yet, but in my brain he's a werewolf in my romance that I would really like to give a boyfriend. But at the same time, I have a coven leader who's in need of a man. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? I do think it would be great to see more own voice gay men in the Achillean space at the minute.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, like, I think it's great that people also get to explore their gender through writing different
yeah,
characters.
Absolutely. I think it also is a lot about the decision behind writing the Achillean book and what you're trying to accomplish with it. Because for a long time, in like there was just the rise of straight women, and still is, writing Achillean books.
Yeah,
and it has a very different, like when you read it, you feel it's very like different it's very different as to oppose as to queer person of any gender writing it, because of course I have a different outlook on it and different desire of what the book means.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be own voices to be authentic, but I do think there's always going to be that like dissonance when a straight person writes queer work in any capacity. Like their purpose for writing it is not necessarily the same as another queer person's.
No, especially you can tell also when they are not reading enough of own voices in general.
And you can also tell when they wrote Larry Stylinson fan fictions as a teenager, I'm afraid. I never really agreed with that, just because those men were just trying to be in a band and be left alone. And
never
know,
ship real people.
It's great not to do that, especially in the queer way, when they feel, when they're in like an oppressive management that wouldn't allow them to be queer, you know, because now they're not really even great friends, and they used to be great friends. Yeah. So thanks for that, Larry Stylinson shippers. I have a lot of things to say about that. Yeah, I never forgave them for that. I'm 26 years old and still think about that quite often. But yeah, that's a different thing. Anyway,
I think that's all books I have with relationships.
And you know, there's a lot of Achillean authors in our Discord. So if you're looking for more, just join our Discord. And if you are one, join our Discord, because Melina has their own thread in our Discord where you're welcome to promote your own work and keep up with what's going on.
Yes. Yep. Well, there's that.
Yep.
Well, actually, in 2 weeks, we have a really exciting episode with Rose Chatterland. We have our interview is going to be out.
Yeah.
So you can look out for that.
You can. And it's the same week that A Sweet Sting of Salt comes out. So if you're interested by what we've been saying about it, then you should definitely pre-order yourself a copy. I think I'm going to have to get myself a paperback, because it's so beautiful.
I'm thinking about it too, yeah. I feel like I would also have to go the way of a hardback. We'll see. It's just really good. It's really good book. And I want to own it. I want to own it, yeah.
I'm always taken aback in the way that like she writes historical fiction so well, but to talk to her, she talks so like normally that
you would expect like that sort of academic like professor type of way. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to kind of see how well people like stretch out their writing and find their writing voice, and how it differs from their real voice, you know.
That's true. Yeah,
that's what I was trying to say.
So I'm really excited for that episode to be out. I have to say, it was a really, really fun.
And there's an Achillean character in that book as well.
He's
a side character. He's called Laurie, but that's another way in which like they really normalize queerness, and how it was society that was kind of the problem and not the queerness itself. And that was great as well.
Yeah.
Lots to say. Lots to enjoy.
Yeah. Well then, until next time.
Support women's rights.
But most importantly, support women's wrongs. Especially when they're reading diverse.
Wait. Yes, exactly.
Diversely?
Diversely.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. We shall see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile. Thank you for listening to Swords and Sapphics. You can enjoy a new episode every Wednesday.
While waiting, you can visit our website, swordsandsapphics.com, and find lots of articles, interviews, and guest pieces.
Feel free to contact us with any requests, questions, or inquiries through a form on our website or directly to our email, swordsandsapphicspodcast@gmail.com.